Disney has conquered cinema, television, theme parks, and so much more. But let's not forget about Mark's favorite, Broadway shows. It's time to make some jazz hands and fussy our way down the aisle, because it's Disney Broadway Day on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks
Podcast.
Podcast! Give it some razzle dazzle, man. It's Broadway. Come on.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic, the We Like Theme Parks Podcast.
Yo. Bring it back now.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks Podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond, 24601. Today I'm joined by my co-host, Disney bounder, theme park fashionista, and musical mistress from the Churro Fund. It's Miriam Kenley. Hey, Miriam, what's up?
Not much.
I thought you would sing that. I thought you would sing, not much.
You know I don't sing. That's not a thing I do.
The thing is you do sing, and it's great.
When forced.
When forced. Begrudgingly, I will sing. And we're also joined today by comedian Diz Nerd and the Gilbert to our Sullivan. It's Mark and Dronda. Mark, what's happening?
Oh, not much.
There it is.
Is that anything?
That feels good. Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I thought you were going to do some Modern Major General, though. You know, I gave you the GNS tie-in, but that's...
Oh, my gosh. See, this guy always has notes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, give him what you think he wants, and then
he gives you a hard time about it. No, man. You know what? I take it back. Not much. How about that?
No. Good. Go back to the singing. I don't give you a lot of notes. I'm not a notey guy. Am I a notey guy? All right. Maybe I am. All right.
You're singing some notes right now.
Guys, today's musical day. We're going to talk about Disney Broadway show tunes and shows. It's going to be great. I love Broadway. Mark loves Broadway, I would say, number one. I would say Miriam, too, and maybe me last. How often
it's
you guys...
It's not a competition.
No, it's not. But I would say, I want to ask you guys, how often you guys get down there to New York to see shows?
Oh, I've only seen one thing on Broadway and one thing in the Meatpacking District.
Oh, what you went to Coyote Ugly?
No, Sleep No More.
Oh, Sleep No More, of course. Yeah, I was like, what's in the sleep in the Meatpacking District other than Coyote
Sleep No
Ugly?
More.
Yeah, right on. Mark, you're totally there on the often, though, right? You're there maybe once or twice a year? A
couple times a year. Yeah,
right on.
Sometimes more, 3-4 times a year.
Yeah, I was a once-a-year guy before I had kids. Now it's maybe every other year, you know, when I go down for work every now and then. Sure. I'll make sure I watch at least two or three, mm-hmm. get in those matinees.
We usually catch the touring productions.
Yeah, those are great too. I still counts. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, they lived on Broadway and they put around. Absolutely.
100% mm-hmm. counts.
Yeah. So before we get into this, I know we're going to talk about Disney musicals, but maybe before we do, really quickly, just your favorite musical of all time, non-Disney.
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's really
difficult.
Jeez,
man. It's a tough
one. Of all time.
Well, but just get
the
ball
rolling.
How
about top three?
No, we're doing a whole top three thing later. I'm just saying really quickly, right, before we get into the show.
I can't do one. That's so
just do
rude.
One. Just pick the out of the three
I
that you're
refuse.
About to say.
I'm going to do three. I'm going to do Wizard of Oz, Wicked, and Chicago.
All right, you did them
and
fast.
And I know Wicked and Wizard of Oz are the same, but I don't care.
No, they're not the same.
No, not at all.
I don't think so
very
either.
Different.
They're different. Those are great picks, though. I'll have you know that I might have been in the Wizard of Oz once. Guess what part I played?
You were an apple tree that threw apples at Dorothy.
No, Mark got it. I was the cowardly lion. If I were king of the forest, and I woof, and a royal growl. Yeah, those are good times. Yeah, it was fun. Mark, all-time favorite.
I can't do just one.
Then do the three same. Real fast. Go.
Okay, Rocky Broadway.
Really? God, I have no idea how it's still there. Anyway, go on.
It's not. What do you mean? It's not playing.
No, like going in your top three. Like, I have no idea how it exists.
I loved that thing. Man, oh, man. That was just the right mix of things for me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you really pressed me. I did not have time to.
I'm trying to press,
Because depending on the day, it's different. I have a lot of really fond memories of She Loves Me, like the 1994 production of She Loves
beautiful
Me.
Beautiful show.
And then they redid it recently, more recently. I can't remember what year that was, 2017, maybe something like that, 2018. Yeah. And that production was stunning, was beautiful. And what's his name was in that? The guy who played Shazam. Why am I blanking on his name?
Zachary Levi.
Yeah, Zach Levi.
Oh my
God,
I was thinking Shaquille O'Neal.
No, that's Kazam.
That's Kazam. They're pretty similar, though. Similar.
So weird. What was?
And here's a weird one. I really love Here Lies Love, which was Fatboy Slim and David Byrne from Talking Heads wrote a musical together about the life of Imelda Marcos.
Wow. Amazing.
And it was site-specific, immersive. It was immersive. The music's great. They put out two albums, two versions of it. One of them is the concept album, and the other one is the cast recording, and they're both excellent.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the show, and it's excellent. It was a great time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the show you want to go to alone, because they do, like, it. You stand in a crowd of people, and it happens all around you.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, as a Filipino party would, they start line dancing. and then it's like, you try to not line dance, and then it's like, no, you're going to have to. And then, so you have to line dance and you're by yourself. And so I would just look around at the people next to me being like, hey, like I'm with you guys. Like I'm one of you guys. Right. And they're like, no, we don't know who you are. But you know what? My number one probably is Hedwig, I think.
Oh, great.
Hedwig
show.
And the Angry Inch.
Oh, wow.
It's a great show too. Sort of an unconventional musical.
Yeah, it was big off Broadway. Big off Broadway, and then didn't it go? Then went to Broadway later.
Went to Broadway with Neil Patrick Harris, and lasted for a little while there. Yeah. Stunning, looked beautiful. Great show.
Very cool show.
What about you, Chris?
Wow, it's too hard. I'm not doing it. We'll skip it.
Here, let's get in the show.
What a jerk! What a jerk!
It's a tough call. I like the funny stuff. You know, I appreciate the like dramatic things, but Book of Mormon.
I was about to say
one of the funniest shows I've ever seen, and just genius, like musically genius, staging genius, everything. Yeah. Like everything was perfect, and it like punched Broadway in the face, and Broadway is still going. What was that? That's the greatest.
I'm with you on Book of Mormon. It's not my favorite, but I think it's the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Like all the way around. There's nothing.
It's airtight.
Everything's spectacular, and the jokes are sharp, and the music is beautiful.
What an impossible task they had to create satire that ends hopeful.
Yeah,
like it ends with you sort of being like, hey, there's hope in the world, even with all that, like, so much cynicism like layered onto the show. And it's satire. Usually you walk out of satire being like, wow, the world's not a great place.
Yeah.
And it's like this, you walk out of the show going, the world's not a great place, but you know what? That's all right.
the last number is really uplifting, and you always want to, you know, you want the 11th hour number to be, you want to lift somebody at the end so they walk out of there going, I had a good time, you know?
Yeah.
What'd you think of the show? Yeah. I liked it. You also want to do it at the end of the first act so people go, what do you think so far? I really like it, you know? If you go in the end of the first act and it's a bummer, people will like text and quote, like they'll post on Instagram how the show's trash and they haven't even seen the whole thing yet. That's just, you know, got to give them a something to go into the bathroom and be like, you know, they're having a pee and being like, what do you think? Oh, it was great. You know,
pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good. But Book of Mormon. Yeah. I'll never forget seeing that and just being like completely blown away. I'd also say another, this is not a popular musical, but it was one that really, I remember seeing in the 90s and I loved it. And I was a huge like fanboy of was Jekyll and Hyde, the musical.
Oh my gosh.
Which is Leslie Bercusi.
Oh my sweet gosh. Yeah,
loved it. Now
I have that on DVD starring David Hasselhoff.
That was the kind of the Titanic hitting the iceberg is when Hasselhoff was leading the charge.
100%.
But yeah, if you listen to the original album with Robert Cuccioli and Linda Eder, the music is sensational. And Robert Cuccioli as the title role was just insane. He was so good. There's a song in it called Confrontation where he sings as both characters at the same time. It's like, it's so intense. And then you watch Hasselhoff like just trip all over himself while he tries to do it. Brutal. This Ain't the Beach, I think, was their like advertising when Hasselhoff came. I think he came in like their fourth or fifth season, just as it was like, we're about to close. We got to sell some tickets. And I actually went to see Hasselhoff in it because I loved the show that much. And he was not good. No. But he was really impressed with himself. He was like, whoa. Yeah, I went during previews. It was one of his first shows, and he came off and he went, yeah. And I was like, you're the worst. Yeah. Liked him in SpongeBob movie, though. He was good in that.
He's a special guy for sure.
And I think the last one, I'm supposed to be quick. Again, I like the funny Spamalot really was huge for me. I grew up loving like Monty Python, and seeing it come to life was really spectacular. But then there's the movie, you know, the musicals you see as a kid too. Like Phantom, I had a big connection with Phantom, but anyway.
Oh yeah, and I saw Phantom more times than I can count. I saw if I saw Phantom 25, 35 times, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. I saw that show so many times.
Right. But if you're looking for the best musical, the best Evil Dead the musical, it played off Broadway. It was a big deal.
It's excellent. It is a good time.
To Evil Dead the musical. All right.
I love an inappropriate musical. You know what I mean? I love something that's like, that's not supposed to be a musical. That's why Rocky's right up there for me too. Like that's not supposed to be. And then it works and you're like, this is great.
Yeah. You're surprised, right? You're like, Evil Dead, it was like, that makes no sense. And then you go and it's like, it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
This is a good time. Anyway, it was really cool. Well, let's get on with the Disney and Broadway, because that's what
really
it is
cool,
all about.
Says the guy who made it.
This isn't a commercial for EvilDeadTheMusical.com. Check it out. It's going to be touring again. It's going to be exciting because now theaters are going to open again. I'm so pumped. But hey, why don't we, before we get more into this Broadway with Disney, let's do that thing we do. We do it every show because we like saying hi to our friends. It's the public time.
T-Public presents. It's your shout out.
T-Public is where you can find all kinds of Disney and Universal t-shirts. You go to our website, you click on the shirts, shop on a page, poke around. It's a cool way to support us, a cool way to get gear for the parks. T-Public! Thank you. All right. This is the musical version. Today, I want to give a shout out to @JustSoMagicTravelLindsay. She's a friend of ours. What's up, Lindsay? She's a magical dream maker, a huge Disney nerd, also a Universal dork. I like that about you, Lindsay. Check her out. She might even have some super cool Disney planning trips for you. So check it out. All right. Well, that was T-Public time. Let's get into this show. It's My Favorite Things.
My Favorite Things. Hey.
All right, guys, today we're talking about Disney Broadway musicals, our favorites. And in My Favorite Things, we're going to tell you our three favorite Disney musicals of all time. Wow, where do you start? Oh, I think I should go first. I'm going to go first because I got one. So my number three is Aladdin. That was interesting because it wasn't the Aladdin you'd seen in the movies particularly. Like, there was some characters didn't exist. They made some changes. They made it less fantastical in some areas. But all the songs you know and love, plus some new ones too. And it was beautifully done. And I really enjoyed it. And I loved the genie. I'm trying to think of that actor's name. What's his name? Mark, help me out. This is where you jump in and save me.
Yeah, he's the James Englehart.
That's right, James Englehart.
What's that show? It was a Netflix show. With Titus Burgess.
Well, yeah, Kimmy Schmidt, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt, thank you.
And he was Titus Burgess' like nemesis.
Like his nemesis,
yeah. He's great.
He's very funny in
Titus
that,
Burgess is great too. I didn't love Little Mermaid though.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Neither did he, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's talked about it in interviews how much he didn't care for that.
Oh, has he? Yikes. Okay.
Yeah.
I loved Aladdin. It was fun. And I think you got all the moments that you needed. And it was kind of just a little bit more real. Even though it's still wild and fantastical, but I really enjoyed it. That's my number three. You know, if it felt, it wasn't the biggest show. It had a big touring life. It didn't blow up particularly on Broadway, but it was a show that I enjoyed and it toured like crazy.
It's still there. It's lasted years. It's still there. Yeah. And when they reopen, it's going to be one of the ones
coming back? Yeah. Welcome back, Aladdin. Raising a glass to you.
Why don't
we go over to you, Miriam? What's your number three?
I've only seen one production of any Disney show ever, and it was Aladdin. So
it's your number three.
My number one and number three. It's the only one I've seen. Oh, so.
What's gonna be your number two? That'll be.
Oh, number yes, that's a mystery.
Okay. Well, we'll have to get there. All right.
I liked it. It was fun, and I really liked it that they changed Abu to three best friends. I thought that was a cute change, and it made the show a little bit more fun. And they had some really cute songs. Those three friends. So
enjoyed
that.
It was different too. It's nice when you see the added material and it really works, because sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. I was actually a little bit disappointed that they didn't put that in the live action Aladdin. Oh. I was hoping instead of a CGI monkey that they would have the three best friends from the Broadway show, but they did not. They did the CGI monkey.
I think people want to see how they do the monkey, just like you do in the musical, right? Like, how are they going to do a Pooh? And then he's not there. And you're like, oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think for the live action, they were like, well, how are they going to do a Pooh? They didn't do it in the things, but they figured it out. CGI, baby. All right, Mark, cruising over to you. Number three.
I had a hard time with this. This entire list I had a hard time with because there are some on here that I love for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
like The Little Mermaid is just a bag of wet trash. You know, like if you can find clips of this online on YouTube, I think they were on like Good Morning America or USA. Oh, they were on some morning show. And they did two numbers from the Little Mermaid Broadway show. The entire cast was on wheelies. You know wheelies?
Mm. Yeah.
You know what wheelies are, Chris? They're like those sneakers. They put a wheel in the heel.
Yeah, all the kids wear them at the malls and they zip around.
Sweet. Good grief, this sucked. What a bad idea. Just these actors skating around and... Like we said, Titus Burgess gave an interview where he said he was bored while rehearsing Under the Sea. And so he just partway through kicked it up an octave. And apparently the director and musical director were like, yes, yes, do that. And he went, oh, great. Now I got to do that every night. He was not happy about it. I wasn't sure which way to go with this. So I was going to go. So I chose to go genuine. And my number three is Mary Poppins. Even though I wanted to say like Little Mermaid and Newsies. I hate Newsies. I hate Newsies.
Same.
With like a burning true passion. Like there's nothing. There are a few things that really irritate me. And one of them is the smell of my pee after I eat asparagus.
Really makes me, yeah, number one.
And the soundtrack to Newsies makes me want to peel my own face off. I hate it. So much.
Okay. All for one and no, one no, please, for no. all. Scratch.
King of New York song, I want to just chuck them both off the top of the Empire State.
What about the Santa Fe song?
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Yeah. No, thanks. No, thank you to the whole thing. Wow. Anyway, we're talking about our favorites, not our least favorites. I could really, if this was a least favorites, I'd have a lot more to say. But Mary Poppins, I thought was really sweet, and I thought it was a great adaptation. They were really faithful to the source material. And where they could improve, I felt like they did. I thought that the Step in Time number, where he tap dances and then tap dances up the side wall of the theater, like up the proscenium, and then upside down along the top and then back down the other side, was just like so inspired and such a beautiful, like what a great tap dance number.
Yeah.
The only complaint about the whole show for me was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. The line, you know, you can say it backwards, which would be docious ali expiistic fragicali rupus, but that would be going a bit too far. They don't say that line in the Broadway show. They actually say it backwards instead of going backwards by syllable, which is what they do in the movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
So my one complaint is they changed that lyric, and that is my favorite lyric in the entire movie.
Whoa.
You can say it backwards, which is docious ali expiistic fragicali rupus, but that's going a bit too far, don't you think? Indubitably. That's favorite line.
That's a great line.
Anyway, so Mary Poppins, Mary Poppins, my number three.
Mary Poppins is great. It's a great choice. I remember seeing the show and then later watching the movie again and then being like, you know what? I don't think I gave the show enough due. You know, it's really well written and it's fun. It's just really long because of the length. You just get tired. Theater fatigue is a big thing for me. 90 minutes, please. And I'm out. You got to really? Be late.
90 minutes.
Well, ish.
90 minutes. Hold on. Yeah, 90 minutes, no intermission.
No,
90
just
minutes
total.
Including intermission.
Plus intermission.
Okay.
90 minutes, throw an intermission in there, give or take. Oh, wow. You know what I mean?
That's a short show. Okay, yeah.
No, it's not. That's like 90 minutes is kind of the thing, you know? Like maybe it's a little bit more. But anyway, listen, you got to be having a sensational time to like cruise way over that. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be Les Mis. You know what I mean? Like it's got to be something spectacular.
Yeah, I didn't Miriam care for makes Les Mis a face. Either. But people love Les Mis.
Les Mis is
I
not for me.
It.
Two, four, six, got like two good songs. One. What? Two good songs in Les Mis?
Yeah, I would agree with that. May at best.
Great, you guys are nuts.
Stars. Unless you want to talk about Stars. Stars is a good song, ironically. Like, I think Stars makes me laugh.
No, so laugh away.
I pretty much only like songs of Angry Men.
That's a good song.
Oh, really? I like On My Own.
Oh, yeah, On My Own.
Empty Chairs and Empty Tables? Come on, there's great jams in this. Master of the House? Come on, guys.
Master of the House is fun.
That's zero. Zero for me on Master of the House. No, thank you.
On My Own and Angry Men. That's it.
Nah, there's... Come, stop.
Me. For me, it's On My Own. On My Own is the jam. A Little Drop of Rain, pretty good. Stars. The reason I like Stars, I was in an Uber, and I sat down, and it was silent, and we started driving, and then he just hit Stars. Like, Stars played so loud in this Uber, and I wept with laughter. Like, it's the last thing I was expecting to hear in this Uber when I got in.
Yeah.
This guy blasting Stars from Les Mis.
Did you guys watch the, I mean, we're steering off topic here, but do you remember seeing the live action, like it was anime, you know, the Russell Crowe and Anne Hathaway. It was a disaster. It was the worst. It was so not great.
Russell Crowe singing that long was
Javert?
Painful.
It was the worst. Russell Crowe being like, yeah, mate, I sing in a band. That's not your singer, dude.
That was so bad.
It was really rough. Anyway, that horrified me. Hugh Jackman was lovely, though. I thought he was great. He's amazing in everything. Everything he touches turns to gold. Okay, back to Disney.
Did you like... Okay, no. Let's talk about Hugh Jackman for a second. How did you feel about The Greatest Showman?
I really liked a couple of songs a lot. There's a couple of great songs in there, but otherwise, meh.
Like... P.T. Barnum was a disgusting human.
Yeah, he was a bad person.
He was a terrible, terrible person, and they just really shined that up. I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't know much about the history. Sure. All I can tell you is the jams.
It's horrific.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it's not good. It's actually quite bad.
Home Again song is beautiful, and This is the Greatest Show is a good tune. That Home Again song
this is the
gorgeous.
Greatest Show. I didn't care for the whole thing. I saw Hugh Jackman in concert.
Yeah.
I took my parents to see him. God bless. My mom still to this day calls him Jack Human.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
We went to go see Jack Human. She knows what she's doing. Anyway, going to that concert and just the number of people cosplaying as The Greatest Showman was the reason. Like, it was worth the ticket.
And not Wolverine? What?
No. People showed up dressed in the red coat and top hat, and not just like a couple people. No, a startling number of people dressed this way to go to the show. And I was like, I love it. The Greatest Showman was not for me, but I'm glad that people enjoyed it. And boy, did they ever.
Wow. Did you ever see The Boy from Oz? He was great in The Boy from Oz.
No, I didn't. Oh, no, I didn't see that. No, but I know what you're talking about.
All right, we're going over to number two. It's back to Bondo. I'm going to cheat here. Can I cheat? I'm going to talk about a musical that hasn't played on Broadway yet, but I think it's gonna. And that's I Will Find My Way. I Can Go the Distance. Hercules, baby.
They did an off-Broadway of it.
They did it in the park, right? They did it like before COVID started. I did it in the park. So it's kind of like en route to become a thing. I think it's going to be sensational. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm a big fan of like the Little Shop of Horrors, the Ronettes. I feel like this is the Little Shop of Horrors of now, like having just that soul groove. It's a little bit more universal and playful. And when you watch Little Shop of Horrors, it's really fun, but the Ronettes steal the show every night. And I love them. And I think you're going to get that with the Muses. Like the Muses are going to be bonkers good. You know that the music holds up so well. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do creatively. Like, is it puppets? What is it? How are they going to make, you know, are you going to have Pegasus?
The monsters.
And 80s is hair. Like, I'm excited to see how they're going to do it. But like the story stands on its own. Miriam and I have glowed about this movie. It's one of our favorite Disney films. I'm really pumped to see it on Broadway. The minute it's there, I will be there because I am pumped for that musical. So yes, it's on standby. It's going to be there. And I think it's going to be, one of the greats like ever.
Me too.
Yeah, I hope they don't Little Mermaid it. You know what I mean?
I don't think they can. Yeah. I think this one would be hard to mess up.
I agree.
I just want to say, going back to your thing about Hercules, that was produced by Public Theater in New York. And Public Theater also produced Here Lies Love, which was on my top musicals ever of all time list. So, Have you seen any of the numbers from Hercules? Have you watched any of them?
No. Is it online?
It's on YouTube. Yeah. I'll send you the links after.
Please,
if you search, our dear listeners want to see any of this, if you just search public theater, Hercules, you'll find Go the Distance. And there's a montage of songs also, but Go the Distance in its entirety is online. From the live version.
And who played, wasn't Roger Bart Hades in it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know the cast.
Like,
and he sang the original Go the Distance.
Yeah, Roger Bart sang the stuff for Hercules in the original film, but I think he plays Hades in that public theater show.
I think he did too.
Yeah. Oh, I love Roger Bart. Did you ever see A Young Frankenstein? He was Frankenstein on Broadway, Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh cool.
Roger Bart? I think he won a Tony, or he got nominated at least. Oh, man, Roger Bart's good. Okay, sorry, music theater nerd out right there.
No, that's what this episode's about.
Yeah. Okay, so Mark, numero dos.
Okay, number two. This is hard. So I just want to say that this is kind of a tie.
Okay.
It's kind of a tie because one of them is just plain good and the other one's better than I think it has any right to be.
Why don't you do both? Do one and two. Go ahead if it's a tie.
Well, it's a tie. Number two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's for number two. Because number one.
Oh.
Yeah, there's two for number two. But number one, like my number one is number one by a long shot.
All right. Then go with
it's not even. No, nobody touches it. It's not even close.
Double up your number two.
So number two, tie for number two, is I think Tarzan, the Broadway show, was a better live show than it was an animated feature.
Hmm. That's fun.
I saw Tarzan sort of begrudgingly and I sort of was sort of dragged to it and I really liked it. And then I watched, because I didn't see the movie, and then I watched the movie afterwards and I was like, oh, the live show was better.
Wow.
And I didn't see that coming because how often does that happen?
Was it the Phil Collins music still?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything was, it was all the same. It just felt spectacular. Something dynamic about it live.
Well, because the whole thing in that one was you saw Tarzan flying around the theater on his ropes.
Which was pretty cool.
Which was really spectacular. It was a precursor to Spider-Man. You know,
I was about to say, it was pre-Spider-Man. We didn't see Spider-Man do that just yet.
Yeah. So no one had seen that and it was wild. But similarly, let's look to like Lion King, you know, peeps were getting hurt left, right, and center. I think when people went to see that show, that's all they walked away from it with. Like it didn't resonate the way I think they hoped. But that the whole acrobatic stuff was wildly spectacular and memorable. But after that, that's why it didn't come close on my list. In fact, I would have it on the flip-flop list if we had that.
Really?
Yeah, man. It wasn't great. I saw it. It wasn't great. That stuff was spectacular. But musically, I didn't think you got anything more than you did from the movie.
Right.
I don't know. It just did the movie with some really cool like acrobatic stuff on stage. And so I walked out of there going, the acrobatic stuff on stage is amazing. The rest of the show, meh. But that was
maybe
me.
I lucked out. I think I lucked out by seeing the Broadway show before I saw the movie.
Maybe. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I didn't expect much of it. Because the movie, I was like, I pass. Yeah, no thanks. Yeah. Phil Collins, all right. Listen, Phil Collins has it. There's a time and place for Phil Collins. And
and it's an American Psycho. And,
well, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I just don't, I'm not, I don't know that I needed Phil Collins to write a Disney thing. And then he did. And I was like, nah, not for me. And then I saw it a lot. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Maybe it's because my expectations were so low.
Yeah.
And they were. And then tied for number two, and this might surprise people, but I think Sister Act made a great live show.
Was that a Disney show? It counts as a Disney?
I think it counts. It's a Disney theatrical. Disney produced it.
Well, then there you go. That's all. Yeah. Sister Act is awesome. Yeah. This is a great show.
Yeah. Loved it. And I think people, I'm going to just get this out of the way now so that people like don't think that like Lion King is going to be number one. I think Lion King is wickedly overrated. I went to go see Lion King and everybody was like, the puppets are amazing. And you know me and puppets. And I go bananas for a puppet time. And I saw Lion King and I think Julie Taymor, these are big words coming from somebody who has never created anything as spectacular as what Julie Taymor has done. But man, it's overrated to me. Like I thought that Be Prepared in the Lion King Broadway musical or whatever, live show.
Yeah.
I thought Be Prepared is one of my favorite villain songs. I know that it's not a popular, I like that one though.
Mm-hmm.
And the blues and greens of the animated, did not try, like, they in the live show, it was all like magentas and yellows.
Ew.
And there were all these yeah, it was awful. And these jazz dancers came out wearing these like hyena heads, and they were wearing like just a, like, they were these men wearing tights and a sash.
No.
And it reminded me of the end of the of Breakin', the movie Breakin', if you've seen that. Anyway, it's just all bad, and they're all dancing around, and there's like, they do this extended dance break in the middle of Be Prepared, and there's like these like little jets of smoke coming up, and they're dancing around Be Prepared, and I'm like, this, I was looking forward to this song the whole show, and this sucks. I hate it. I was so hot about
Everybody
it.
Knows if you're evil in a Disney movie, it's lime green. What in the world? Well, magenta and yellow?
No. Thank you. It was magenta and yellow. No, exactly. Where's the green?
Mark,
where is the green?
May I cut in? May I cut
please.
In?
Please.
Would that be all right?
Yeah, I wish you would.
I'm going to cut in because it is my number one. I'm going to tell you why. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying. I feel like that number was a bit of a throwaway in the musical. You're right. It was not handled well. But I will say this. I remember seeing that, and I was really young. I mean, I was maybe in my teens, and I had never seen anything like that. The puppets, the grandeur. I mean, when that rolled into town, I'd never seen anything like that before. And I remember resonating big time. And for the kind of a couple of numbers that aren't so hot, there's some pretty spectacular numbers, like the opening Circle of Life, when you see these giant puppets come on stage and walk through the audience, and the birds are whirling over top of your head. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that before. It was really moving. And they did some incredible stuff with the Pride Rock. Like, the set was incredible. The whole stampede effect, like, everything was just like, I'm like, how are they going to do this? And then you see it and you're like, wow. And this was in the 90s, like the early 90s, right? I think it is huge. It's amazing. But I feel that that's Chris connecting to teenage Chris, because I remember later, many years later, I'm with my wife in Las Vegas and I'm like, let's see a show. We're in Vegas. What do you want to see? And she's like, Lion King. And I'm like, well, I mean, I like it. Yeah, I like Lion King, but I'd rather go see Penn and Teller. But yeah, all right. Yeah, sure. Let's go to Lion King. And I remember feeling what you're talking about now, like, it's good, but you've seen so many other great things at this point, and things that might even be better. But when it came out in the 90s, it was the pinnacle, and it never improved. It just sat there and stayed the same, where you've seen so many better things. And I think that's what maybe is kind of dwarfing what it was. But anyway, I don't know. I remember young Chris being like blown away. So for me, it's number one. I loved some of the stuff they added, like, what's the song that they added that's really amazing? He Lives in You. Like just some great jams.
Sure.
It was great. It was super fun. But you're welcome to poop on it. It's okay.
No. We just don't. Listen, I think it's fine to, you know, I'm not saying it's a hunk of junk. I'm just saying that I was disappointed by it. And like, yeah, I saw it. Yeah. When it came out, and I think that people had hyped the puppets to me, and I was excited to see it. And then I saw them and I was just like, I've seen better puppets.
Did you see it, Rick, right when it came out, or did you see it years later?
Yeah, I did. No, I saw it right when it came out.
Oh, wow. Because you and I are in the same age.
And everybody was like,
yeah, it would have been teenage Mark.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I thought that, and like, so here's my honorable mention, which is not my number one, but like, if it has to be a musical, it's going to be my number one. But if it doesn't have to be a musical, I've got a different choice for sure. But I think that Beauty and the Beast was far more successful to me than The Lion King was, in terms of like giving me a spectacle on stage. Like, I thought that Be Our Guest was just incredible.
Yeah.
That effect with the beast turning into a human was stunning.
Yep.
I could watch that all day. I could watch that effect all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Be Our Guest was beautiful. Was so big. What a huge number.
Yeah.
And a similar thing where like, it wasn't puppetry per se, but
the
like
costumes were
like
bonkers.
Costume heavy.
Yeah. It was nuts. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. I thought my honorable mention is Beauty and the Beast for sure.
Okay.
And I thought that translated to me, that resonated more as a musical than The Lion King, as a live musical than The Lion King.
I'm going to tell you a secret about Bondo.
Please.
Outside of Gaston, I've never been a big fan of that property.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's not like Gaston is super fun and LeFou is kind of fun, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Belle is kind of sleepy, and the whole thing with the beast, it just doesn't connect for me. And it's all.
I do like the enchanted objects. They're fun.
Yeah. They're okay. It just, I don't know what, there's so many better stories and so many better Disney movies. But you know, Gaston really lifts that movie up on his big, broad shoulders and makes it even more than just a love story. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he does it with such panache. And that's my big takeaway. So maybe when I saw the Broadway show, I think what I was really excited about, Mark, was the things you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Was just like the spectacularness of it. Like, you knew going in, well, Be Our Guest is going to be bonkers. And it was, you know, it did not disappoint.
No.
And you got the moments, you got the dancing in the ballroom, you got all the big bumps you wanted from the movie, and they were done with panache. But I just, it wasn't my, I will take my Lion beef, King over Beauty and the Beast all day long.
My beef with that musical is that the love song is not sung by the two main characters. It's
sung by me, sung by a pot.
I hate it.
Angela,
sung by a teapot.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. Awkward.
Yeah.
It's such a weird choice for that. Instead of them singing to each other that they're loved.
Yeah.
It's not my good favorite. Point. That didn't even occur to me. You're right.
So, Mark, let's get to your number one then, homie.
It's just my honorable mention. Yeah, my real number one is Peter and the Starcatcher.
Ooh.
And if you saw this thing, this was the best thing on stage in a long, long time. Like, everything else in my list doesn't even come close. Like, really? It's like all of those things, and then like space, Peter and the Starcatcher.
Wow. Okay.
You see this thing?
No, I've never seen it. I've heard it's good.
It's unbelievable. Hit me up after, or if you're listening to this, hit me up on Instagram or whatever, and I'll send you the link to the bootleg that I found, which I watch a couple times a year. Also, hit me up. I can send you the bootleg to Rocky Broadway. I can send you the bootleg to...
Mark's got
what did I watch the other day? I watched the bootleg for Groundhog Day. That's a depressing show, my goodness.
Oh, I want to see. I never got to see that one.
Groundhog Day? It is... It is an existential crisis of a musical. Let me tell you, it's exactly what I mean. It's the like the heart of Groundhog Day is very depressing.
It is,
But it's, you know, it's funny because Bill Murray's funny.
Yeah.
This show is very depressing. he has a very difficult time. You know, Phil Connors. Anyway, Peter and the Starcatcher is great. I'll talk about
Mark,
that.
Mark, you're a renowned Peter Pan junkie. So is it a little bit of that on top of the fact that, you know, it's...
It is. Also, the staging in this show was really innovative. They do... Talking about doing a lot with a little.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like this cast, you know, they do so much with next to nothing.
Right.
And it's stunning.
Is it a Peter Pan beautiful. Story?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's like the origin stories kind of.
Cute. Yeah.
Which is right up your alley. And that's why I'm wondering if it's like space, Peter and the Starcatcher, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that might be part of it. But also, again, if you haven't seen it, I don't know how to describe this to you.
Yeah.
I just keep saying the staging's incredible.
Yeah.
And it really is. Like, the way they physicalize this show is beautiful. The story's great. The performances were just... second to none. Yeah. Anyway, it's my favorite show.
Amazing.
Out of this list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, friends. Well, hey, those were our favorite things, our top three each, and especially Miriam, our favorite musicals that were Disney Broadway shows. But hey, you know, we got some new ideas for some cool shows that could be the next big hit on Broadway that are from our friends over at the Disney Company. And we're going to tell you all about it right after we take a quick break from our sponsors. And we're back on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. You know what time it is, homies?
Armchair Imagineering.
Okay, so we all love Broadway. We all love Disney. We know the Disney musicals that are out there. What are some Disney properties that are not on Broadway that we want to see on Broadway? Oh boy, this was a fun exercise. Miriam, do we want to go to you? Like, I'm sure you haven't seen a lot of them, but you have tons of ideas for some great ones.
Yeah,
that you also won't go and see. Huh? That you also won't go and see.
Oh, rude. I mean, here's the thing. The ones that they've produced, I just have no interest in.
Okay.
I don't care about Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love Lion King as a movie. It's not my favorite.
That's great.
And I heard that The Little Mermaid was terrible. So
yep.
It's pretty bad.
Those are the things, you know?
Can we, I know we keep talking, but can we talk for just a half second about how incredibly disappointing Frozen was?
I haven't seen
it. Oh, the musical? I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
a live show.
What really it this was, eh?
This is a show that, how expensive could this show possibly have been? They blew out the back wall of the, was it the St. James Theater?
Yeah.
Like they took the back wall of the theater down and built it out to house this show. And there was almost nothing spectacular about this.
Mm. I saw the Let It Go song, and so you saw all the cool projections and stuff.
Yeah,
and the
6 out of 10.
Yeah, okay. I'm all right.
Come on.
I like seeing on TikTok, there's a bunch of community theater productions of Frozen, and mm-hmm. watching the stagehands do the costume change for Let It Go is way more satisfying. Like, they are doing the most just for this community production. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the giant Broadway stage show, I haven't seen anything impressive about.
You can already get the rights to do it not community theater and stuff. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a few, and these stagehands are literally hiding behind the actress and then pulling the dress and having to lay on their back flat on the stage after they've taken the dress off. It's wild. They're amazing. And I haven't seen anything impressive from the actual production.
I feel like the Frozen show that's in the parks did the same kind of quick change. You could almost see that it was looked really big on her, like the first dress. And you can almost see a cable in her back. And I'm when is that getting ripped off? When is something's going to, and I was you're just waiting for that moment because it looks weird. And then all of a sudden she throws her cape and it was tied to her cape and her cape went up into the rafters. And I was like, okay,
that's cool.
That's kind of cool for a theme park. I was pretty impressed.
I think that Frozen can be summed up this way for me, the Broadway show.
Okay.
The Tony Award nominations that this show got were Best Musical, Best Book of a Musical, and Best Original Score.
Okay.
That's it. Those are the three.
Oh.
That's it.
What does Best Book of a Musical mean?
Best script. Like, not the music or lyrics, but the words.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So no lighting design, no set, no costume design, none of those.
None of the actors either.
You tore down the back wall of this theater and you did not
earn
not even a nomination.
Yeah.
Forget about not winning it. Right. They didn't even get nominated. Yeah. What?
You didn't swing a chandelier or have a helicopter come in through the roof or anything
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If Miss Saigon can fly a helicopter into a theater, where on earth is my ice castle? What is happening out here?
Yeah. Honestly.
Fair.
Should be real ice every night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You tore down, I keep harping on it, but you tore down the back wall of this theater and what? To what?
Yeah.
But Mark, did they at least make it snow in there? Did it snow at some point in the show?
I'm sure it did. I don't know.
Hey, when we did Cannibal the Musical, we made it snow. Remember that was
fun. Did it ever?
All right. Well, let's get into some new musical hijinks for Broadway that are Disney inspired. Let me start with Miriam. Miriam, what are your cool ideas?
I have three. Okay. I'm going to start with one that I mean, just fairly obvious that I hope that they do. And that is Moana, I think would be a beautiful stage production.
Yeah,
it'd be so cool.
And I love the music in it. Lin-Manuel is already a Broadway legend. So come on, get him out there with one more show. Why not?
Yeah.
And I think the sets would be pretty and hopefully, I don't know. I just like it. I think Moana would be a fun adaptation.
Yeah, I think he's having a good time making movies of all the cool stuff he did. So, let's do a show and then make a movie of the show. Let's just make some more money, Lin-Manuel. I love it.
Yeah,
why not?
That's a cool pitch. I'll go next. I'm going to put two ideas together because they're not good, but hear me out. A Tron-inspired musical? Why not?
No.
Of course.
LED lights, you know?
Of course. Of course.
Think of the merch. Think of the merch. You could get LED lit frisbees and stuff. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah. That's what you want to sell at a theater.
Yeah, totally. People throwing all the, everyone's on roller or on those wheelies. It's going to be great.
No wheelie. This isn't Starlight Express. Get out of here.
Starlight Express. It's going to be so cool. And here's another one. Finally, we're going to bring this comic book legend back It's the Condor Man musical.
I knew it.
Condor Man. No. Condor Man. He's got the condor plan.
You must
he's
be
got
stopped.
Condor wingspan. He's Condor Man. I think it was going to be awesome.
I could actually, you know what? I can actually get behind that one.
Thank you. Hey. All right, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I do love an inappropriate musical. So this feels like. Even Tron. You lost me on Tron when you said you're going to put them on roller skates or wheelies or whatever. Then I was like, oh, this is Starlight Express, man. I don't need that again. We already got a Starlight Express.
I mean, I'm really just goofing around with Tron. I don't know how you would actually do it, but I love the aesthetic. I want to see that aesthetic on stage. I'd love to see
it. Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
I'll meet you on this Tron idea.
Please.
What if Tron was a jukebox musical and all the music was the Pointer Sisters catalog?
Oh my God, I love the Pointer Sisters.
I mean, I don't think that Pointer Sisters fans would like what I just said.
Yeah, but I mean, I like those two
things.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that the Neutron Dance.
I'm just doing the Neutron
the
Dance.
The Neutron Dance. You just have to you have to spell it so that it's not Neutron. It's
Neutron. I love it. That's a great idea. But why not Condor Man? I think superheroes are hot right now. You can get Michael Crawford is a Broadway legend.
You're going to get Michael Crawford is a billion years old. You're going to get him to play Condor Man. He's going to break a hip.
He does the cameo. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You get the younger Condor Man, but you want to sell tickets, right? You put Michael Crawford in there. You know what I'm saying?
You want to sell tickets.
Son of Condor
Michael
Man.
Michael Crawford and Condor Man.
Yeah.
That's the most misguided thought ever in a while.
Okay. Who's a good musical? Okay. Taron Egerton. Taron Egerton is the lead, and he's one day he stumbles into his dad's like secret room, and then he opens up and reveals the condor wings, and he's like, "What's this?" And then Michael Crawford stumbles and, "Son, you weren't supposed to see it." And meanwhile, a KGB agent starts to ransack the house. He's like, "Son, you have to escape." He's like, "Dad, no." And then Michael Crawford fends off the KGB agent while Taron Egerton escapes, but with the Condor Man suit. This is great already. And then Taron Egerton is like, "What's this all about?" And then he tries it on, but then the guy who played the original FBI agent, who was his buddy, his son is Jack Black, and he's like, "Oh man, the Condor Man is back. Oh my God, try on the suit." And then they start working as a team again. And then Taron Egerton is flying, and he's singing, "Condor Man, I got the Condor plan, and look at my wingspan. It's Condor Man." And Jack Black is like, he makes sounds with his mouth, you know, like he does. I think.
Sorry,
listen,
are you expecting
this ending soon?
No, it goes on, and then they save somebody, and they save the world, and then they become a big comic book hero, and then he, at the very end, Thor shows up, and he's like, "Oh, mate, I think you should join us Avengers, right?" And he's, "Oh wait, that's not Norwegian, but hey, you get me." And then poof, he becomes an Avenger, and then now he's in the MCU.
You've lost your mind.
Oh my goodness, what a musical. And then now you're bridging the Avengers into your musical? Oh my goodness.
Don't.
Okay. This is beautiful. Mark, what are your cool ideas?
We have had enough problems with superheroes on Broadway. We do not need another.
Have you heard the music for Superman?
Marvel property?
Have you heard the music from the Superman musical?
I own it on vinyl.
Yikes. Yeah, yikes.
Yeah, I've got Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a book on my to-do on my to-read list that's all about the making of that Spider-Man musical and Man Oh Man. I think that I know a lot about it, and I think that I just scratched the surface on what a hunk of junk that thing was.
Love it. Okay. Well, so give us some ideas, Mark. What do you got?
Okay, for a show?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that the music for Coco is perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you could make some more of them, songs for that show, and I think it would be stunning. I think that show could be so beautiful.
Marigold Bridge. It'd be so
pretty. My, could you imagine?
Would you put it over the audience?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. That's a great idea, actually.
I don't think people need to walk on it to get that effect. If you could just, you know, and then you could have petals floating down.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Beautiful.
There are a few opportunities in that show to really include the audience. And I think that the big finish where you're at the concert, that audience of that concert could be the audience that has paid a ticket.
Of course.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Coco would translate really well pretty much as is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Like you said, add some more songs.
Yeah, add a few songs because you have to. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, first of all, just to fill it out, number one. Number two, you get nominated for a Tony.
And it's the Lopez's, yeah. right? That did that music?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's going to be bonkers good. Yeah. I want more Coco. Coco, yeah. I feel like is, tell me if you agree, like kind of underappreciated a little bit.
It's in Mickey's Mixed Magic.
Is it? That's good. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy.
And they do Un Poco Loco. It's mm-hmm. my favorite fireworks show at Disneyland. And they do Un Poco Loco, and they do the whole thing in Spanish.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool.
Oh. What color is this guy? Love it. Love it. That's a great show.
But yeah, even the verse is Spanish. Oh,
beautiful. Well, really Mark, cool. That was also on my list, so good pick.
Coco was?
Yeah, Coco was awesome. Okay, back over to Miriam for some wicked ideas. What do you got?
My next one would be The Parent Trap, but the 60s version.
Right.
And, you know, because there's a couple Sherman Brothers songs in there. Maybe you could add a few more that were in other movies. And, yeah, I just think you could have like the camp set and then the city where Sharon is and then their little like house in the ranch. I just think the sets would be fun and I love that. The costumes would be great, 60s stuff. And pranks are fun. It would be really fun to make that a musical.
I think it'd be a good time. I there hasn't been a good 60s musical in a while. So I like that vibe. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. I got a couple ideas. Why hasn't The Nightmare Before Christmas been done? Like,
I've wondered that too. I'm with
why?
You.
Yeah. Why? It's so great. And it's, and listen, can I double up with something here?
Please.
The
Please
seasonal do. Musical. Listen, I kind of helped create one. Okay. Evil Dead, the musical plays almost every Halloween. It tours. Everybody wants it in their theater in the fall around Halloween. Everybody wants it. Mm-hmm. How many times does every stock and amateur company do Elf or whatever
Christmas story
the musical. So I propose to you, Disney does these two musicals. Musical one, The Nightmare Before Christmas. I want more Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman writes some weird stuff. He is great. More please. I know he does a lot of scoring. Put that aside. I didn't realize that he was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo for the longest. I was like, does Danny Elfman?
Yeah. Does his band.
Yeah, I had no idea. I want him to write more songs instead of scoring. I want to, because these songs are amazing. And then my second pitch, seasonal musical, The Santa Claus, the musical.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be good.
Yes. Because it's rooted in reality to some degree. You know, it's a story about a dad and his kid and their kid, their kind of disconnect. And then this whoopsie doodle with Santa Claus. And then they're thrusted in this magical world. Like, I think it'd be tons of fun. Like literally tons of fun. And who would write the music for it?
Tim Minchin. I just like Tim Minchin, so I'm just going to say Tim Minchin every time.
Let's get him in. Sure, why not? He sounds good. Get him in there. And let's do this. I think they need that seasonal musical that will play forever. And if they want to talk about stock and amateur, like, poof, there's a need for Christmas musicals out there. I'm tired of watching the same burnt out Christmas Story, Elf, the same Christmas Carol every year. Please, Disney, help us out. Mark, back over to you for some fun ideas.
Miriam, you reminded me of when you said The Parent Trap, reminded me that a long time, like a decade ago, they were developing Freaky Friday, and I don't know whatever happened with that. Yeah. I never looked into it after that, but I remember hearing that it was being done and then just sort of vanished. Also, talking about Tim Minchin, did you hear that Matilda is getting, they're making it a movie. They're making the Broadway show a movie. They're adapting the musical.
There you go.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think that'll be great. I love that show. Yeah. I love that show a lot. But talking about the thing that we're talking about, I think that, so I said Coco before because I think that it's already kind of ready to go. And like that's, you know, it's mostly done. I would love to see Up. As a full Broadway musical.
Wow, it'd be hard. Wow.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to see. How do you do a flying house?
Well, I mean, I think that you'd have to have the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to, like, I don't think that house is going to actually fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be too big.
Like Wizard of Oz it, right?
Yeah, like, you can figure out other ways.
One, two, skip a few, and then the house is on the cliff.
Wow, but the house, it's, I don't think it's, a, the house is almost like a character. The house is always present. It's they're holding on, they're carrying the house. They, you know, they've attached the bird to the house. They try to save the house. Like, the house is pretty critical.
Maybe the house is a balloon.
The reason I think that there is a way to do this is, did either of you see any clips of Beetlejuice, the musical?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
The house in Beetlejuice is a, basically a cast member. Like, it's a character in the show, exactly what you said. It changes throughout the show. They spent all their money on this house. It's incredible. And I think if they can do that with Beetlejuice, they can do it with Up. I think there's a way.
Okay.
That would be really
expensive,
cool.
Expensive way. But the nice thing about Up 2 is, I mean, it's one of my favorites, so there's that. But there's no music in it. So it's sort of like open territory to like have somebody come in and write songs for this show. And there's no expectations, right? Like, it's not like we're expecting to hear, you know, whatever. Be prepared from The Lion King. You know what I mean? Like, you're just going to get, it's all new. It's going to be all new stuff. It's and exciting. I think that if you're going to do a Disney musical, I think that the next one I see, I'd like it to be a surprise. Like, I'd like it to not be a musical movie that they turn into a musical for Broadway.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that pitch. Yeah, these are all great ideas, guys. Any last pitches before we wrap this up?
Yes, I have one more.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I would like a Mickey Mouse Club, the Annette Funicello story musical.
Whoa.
I think it'd be really cool to do a life story, but sort of frame it around her starting with the Mickey Mouse Club. And I think you would use all Sherman Brothers songs because she did so many with them.
Oh, wow. What Good a call. Great idea. And you got Frankie Avalon in there, too.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And good call, some Miriam. Of her like beach movies in there too, but
Beach Blanket Bingo. Yeah, right on.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. That's a great idea.
I love
that,
and I love that she got her start with the Mickey Mouse Club. So I think you could do both. Maybe it's like how they were developing that, and then second act is her rise after that.
The original Disney diva, Annette Funicello. That's a very cool idea. I think that that's a movie. I think that's a bigger
musical.
I would love that movie.
Yeah, very cool. I'll throw something just out there, and it's not that wildly creative, but also another one where I'm like, why hasn't this happened yet? Princess and the Frog. I mean, the music is
beautiful.
It's bonkers good. Like, oh, Randy Newman's his best work, some of his best work.
And the sets would be pretty.
Oh, New Orleans, and it'd just be, oh, like, it'd be the greatest. It'd be the greatest. I don't get it.
Maybe the problem is that they'd be frogs the whole time. I think the problem is what the movie problem is.
You can't
is.
Put them in a frog costume? I'd buy it. I mean, why not?
Talk about how funny the summer stock amateur theater would be of this. The amateur theater version of, have you seen the pictures of like all the community theaters of Shrek?
Oh gosh, no.
Oh, it is a, there's a whole Tumblr like dedicated to like community theater productions of Shrek, and it is beautiful and horrifying. It's exactly what you think. It's exactly what you think. It's very scary.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty like ridiculous Shreks, but that's kind of part of the fun though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, how are you going to do it if you're like doing stock and amateur? So,
yeah.
I don't know, it'd be kind of cool to be like, all right, who's going to be Lewis the alligator? You know what I mean? Like this giant alligator costume. That'd be kind of fun though.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, it's going to be the great.
I mean, I'd buy a ticket just to see Friends on the Other Side. So,
yeah.
It'd be so good.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Well, that's Mark, any last ideas?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Planes.
Yeah. Dane Cook's available. I wonder if he can sing. Let's find out.
No. I think he needs it. I do want Dane Cook in the role as Dusty Crophopper, my favorite name in the history of cinema. But I think he needs a stunt singer. I think we have somebody come on and sing for him. Just taps him out and he sings, and then Dane Cook comes back and paces.
Love it. That's amazing. Yeah. All right, friends. Well, hey, those were our wild ideas for Armchair Imagineered, brand new Disney-inspired Broadway musicals to come on down Broadway and shake things up. A lot of fun ideas. I think Miriam had my favorite, the Annette Funicello story. Very cool. Yeah, and of course, Condor Man. He's got a condor plan. He's got these
we went from the best one to the worst one there.
Condor. Condor Man.
What is that? I don't want that.
Isn't
that
what a condor sounds like? What does a condor sound like?
No, I think you're right. That is what a condor sounds like. But I don't. That's condor. What I'm saying is I don't want it to.
Okay, well, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Give it. Mark, you're the one who likes inappropriate musicals. Wouldn't you be down for
I would absolutely go watch
you
this.
You would
yes,
go and
right.
You'd be like, it's bad, but in a good way. And we'd have a nice time, you know. I'd buy you a shirt. Maybe. It'd be great. And we walk out of there together. We'd be like, oh, it would be a good time. I'd like it.
Yeah.
Miriam, you can come too.
No.
I knew that answer was coming.
Miriam just stands outside the theater, arms folded.
Yeah.
No.
No. We come out in t-shirts and wearing wings. We're like, you missed a great time. You know, it'd be fun. All right, friends. Well, hey, well, thanks so much for tuning in today. Hope you had a good time. I know Miriam had a blast. You know, hey, help us out. You can rate us, review us, subscribe to us. You can send Miriam gifts. You can do all those nice things. Wouldn't that be cool? If you have a segment idea, just hit us up. What's up at WeLikeThemeParks.com. You can also find us on the Instagram, the Insta, that's what the young kids call it, at WeLikeThemeParks. We're on the Magic of the Mouse radio Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays at 5, noon on Sunday. We should be singing most of this. And the music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. I just sang his name. That had to be cool. It's going to not jive with our underscored music, but that's okay. But you can check him out at somebody's got to sing it.
Miriam.
Sing it, Miriam.
No. Come on now. MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
Shame, shame. She bailed.
What happens?
For Miriam and Mark, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
we like
theme parks. The musical. Jazz hands.